Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
Good to be back with you.
Always good to be here on Sunday night.
With our multitude of listeners.
Yes, we could be here on every night, but we couldn't afford it. So if you want to send in some donations and keep us on the air every night, Steve would have a long drive, though, coming from Youngstown every night.
We'd have to put up a sukkah or something for me to stay.
Yes, yeah. In Independence. Yeah. Then you'd have much less of a drive.
Exactly.
Anyway, so welcome back to the show. The last... I think two shows?
Yes.
Or maybe it was more.
I think more.
Maybe it was four shows. The last three or four shows.
Yeah.
We started out with a text that Jesus quotes in the book of Matthew where he says, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Mm-hmm. So we've been kind of going through the historic debate about law versus grace,
right,
which has kind of been going on for 2,000 years now. And we went through a lot of scriptures, and we want to get through a lot more stuff, so I don't want to spend too much summarizing it, but, you know, it's interesting that everything in the law pointed toward Jesus. The writer to the Hebrews points out these things were types and shadows. He was the substance. And Jesus told the Pharisees that when you look in the scrolls for eternal life, you're doing well to do that. And the scrolls talk about me. And they got a little upset about that too. Cause, you know, the Pharisees didn't like people telling them things.
No.
And they hated being called a brood of vipers. But this was
thought that was a term of endearment.
Yeah, there are all these prickly Pharisees around, but anyway, they were like no fun.
No fun.
If you invited a Pharisee to your party, it was too much tension. But anyway, so, you know, then Jesus gets into the telling the people that are listening to him that their righteousness has to exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees in order to enter the kingdom. They had to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were the ones that were the, quote, most righteous, unquote. The Pharisees set themselves apart to be righteous, to observe the law, and they weren't going to be like the common people. Mm-hmm. So if you went to the Starbucks or the Denny's that was near the Temple Mount and you asked somebody, who are the holiest people in Jerusalem? They'd say, the Pharisees, of course.
Yeah.
And so when Jesus said, your righteousness has to surpass that, the people that were sitting at the Starbucks and the Denny's would have said, well, that's not possible because they're really holy guys. They do all the cool stuff. And we're just sitting here drinking coffee. We're not really the really holy guys. So I don't think we can be more righteous than they are because after all, the law was the standard of righteousness. Mm-hmm. They're following the law. We don't always do as well as they do on the law. So they're way more righteous than we are. Mm-hmm. So this would have kind of hit them when Jesus said they had to be more righteous than the Pharisees, more holy than the Pharisees.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of his point, of course, was that the Pharisees were very concerned about the letter of the law, not the heart of the law. And they were very concerned about how things looked on the outside. You know, they cleaned the outside of the cup, but the inside was disgusting.
Right.
And, you know, in Matthew 23, which you can read for your homework. I almost said home group. We got so many home groups, I keep saying home group. You can read for your homework. Matthew 23 is Jesus spends the whole chapter really telling these Pharisees how... even though they think they're following the law, they're a disaster.
Yeah. 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 We've talked a lot about that the last couple of shows. And I think, you know, it's easy to point the finger at the Pharisees.
Yeah.
Even from our perspective today, because we see that Jesus really talked to them in a certain manner mm-hmm. that addressed their righteousness, but also their self-righteousness.
Yes, good point.
You know, and the message isn't just for the Pharisees, because if we're honest with ourselves, we can all get a little pharisaical at times mm-hmm. in our own religion.
Yeah, I'm way more humble than you are.
I know you are. But we can, you know, we all have a tendency to get prideful mm-hmm. in our faith, in our walk with the Lord, and go, I had a good day today. Mm-hmm. Doing pretty good.
Yeah.
God really is pleased with me.
I really nailed that Bible study.
Yep. Man, that radio show was top notch. So, you know, I think the whole aspect of this is that we need to reflect honestly, you know, for ourselves, for mm-hmm. each individual, where do I stand before God?
Yeah.
How am I living the gospel message? Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus really turned things upside down mm-hmm. because they wanted a king. They thought he was it. Mm-hmm. He is, mm-hmm. but he's not the king. But not the way they thought. You know, you look at the story when he drove out the demons from Legion, and he, you know, cast those swine into the ocean mm-hmm. or into the sea. Well, that swine was somebody's herd.
Mm-hmm.
That was their livelihood.
Yeah.
So they're gone.
I'm out of business, man.
I'm out of business. But, you know, when Jesus is saying your righteousness needs to surpass that of the scribes or Pharisees, or you too will not enter the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
God calls us to be holy. And, you know, we were looking at in the book of Sirach where it says, you know, God gives no one license to sin.
Mm-hmm.
And we also know that Jesus from time to time would point out to the Pharisees, you know, that you really heap burdens upon the people
mm-hmm.
with all these other things that you've given them to do, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. you don't lift a finger to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're weighed down.
Yeah.
They're weighed down. And Jesus tells the people, come to me, you who are laden and heavy burdened, I will give you rest.
Yeah.
Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Yeah.
And so that yoke is, you know, it's truth.
Mm-hmm.
And his love for us really eases the burden of what we truly deserve. Mm-hmm. Because of our transgressions,
yes,
against the law,
right.
Against God.
Yes.
And on the cross, all of that is fulfilled.
Yeah, exactly right.
All of that is fulfilled.
Yes. And this is the point he was getting at.
Right.
And, you know, when he addressed, well, we'll use a nice term and say, when he addressed the Pharisees, you know, he was clear, like we commonly point out, and Steve likes to comment on the fact that love is the basis of the law. Everything is about love because God is love. The whole plan of salvation unfolds in love. The sacrifice of Jesus, the Messiah, is all about love. And as a result, we attain salvation and the church becomes the bride of Christ. So it's all about love. And the Pharisees were very concerned about how they looked from the outside and how they were so scrupulous in doing the things. And that point in Matthew 23 was, we should be more worried about our internal holiness, our mm-hmm. internal righteousness, our internal relationship with God mm-hmm. than being so scrupulous about, well, if somebody gives me 100 ounces of this, I have to give exactly 10 ounces as my tithe, and that's what I'm focused on. He wanted them to focus on the basis of the law, which was love, and that's how we're accepted. They were concerned, and like you say, very prideful about how well they were doing with the law.
Yeah.
Not only God's law, but all the traditions that had been added.
Right.
They were all about that.
They were on it.
They were on that.
All over it.
And if somebody started a new tradition about, you know, this thing has to be green rather than blue, psh, man, they painted everything green. They were all over it. Whereas the humble people may not know as much as the Pharisees. They may not be doing that well with the law like the Pharisees, you know, like the publican in the temple who says, have mercy on me, a sinner, and is afraid to even raise his eyes to heaven, where the Pharisees there are saying, oh, thank you, Lord, for not making me like that guy.
Yeah.
And that guy's a mess. Yeah. Look how cool I am. That guy's a mess. And, you know, there was such a pride in that. But the humble people, and that applies to today, you know, you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be a bishop. You don't have to be an elder. You don't have to be a whatever it is
right.
in your denomination. The humble people that have that relationship and understand what the heart of the law is, we realize that we're servants. We're unprofitable servants a lot of the time. And we have to trust in the righteousness of Christ. We have to trust in his righteousness. And we're going to get to some passages about that where Paul says, you know, I don't have any righteousness of my own, but, you know, I got his righteousness. Rather than the Pharisees who thought they had righteousness of their own and didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say to them. So this is how we go beyond them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you think you're righteous because you've done a perfect job with the law, I mean, you can't even describe how prideful that is. Yeah. Hey, that's just wild.
It is. It is. You know, because when you achieve something on your own, when I achieve something on my own, mm-hmm. the natural tendency for me as a human, my emotional, you know, my emotions and thoughts is,
yeah,
wow, I did really well at that.
Yep.
So it's a natural tendency to want to think that. And, you know, Jesus also tells them, pray in secret where your Father sees and will repay you in secret.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a, you know, it should cause us to pause a little bit to really take a hold of that message that Jesus is giving us.
Mm-hmm.
Because while our faith is something that is personal, it's also, you know, it also is communal. You know,
yeah, of course.
You know, nobody gets, you know, nobody walks alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
there's no Lone Ranger Christians.
There's a few, but you know, you really can't walk the walk of faith alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're accountable to God for what we do and say.
Mm-hmm.
But as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we need to encourage each other.
Mm-hmm.
We need to walk with each other and walk humbly with God.
Mm-hmm.
And not, you know, when Jesus tells the Pharisees about, you know, it's not what goes into a person that defiles them.
Yes.
It's what comes out of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people can take that to mean, okay, well, all the dietary laws are just blown out the window and done away with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nothing wrong with keeping the dietary laws if you'd like to.
Mm-hmm.
I you know, obviously there's some things probably that were, you know, I really don't want to get into the dietary laws, but the thing is, when that surpasses loving your neighbor,
yes,
then you've placed the law in a different place where it was not meant to be.
Yes, and that's much more important than whether you
ate a piece
of bacon or not.
Right. Right. And so that's really what I want, you know, that's really what I want to express is that I can uphold all of God's commandments. But if I go around judging my brothers and sisters and I never show them any love or mercy towards them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Jesus says when his disciples ask him, Lord, teach us how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive.
Right. Not so, if you forgive or if you happen to forgive.
Right. And I think, you know, if I'm really listening to my words, I'm saying, God, forgive me as I forgive my brethren. So if I'm holding something against my brother or sister, Lord, forgive me to the same mm-hmm. measure that I'm forgiving my brothers
mm-hmm.
and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's not full. You're not fully forgiven them, Steve.
Mm.
Oh, well. But can I get full forgiveness from you, God? You know, and in that prayer, those words are very powerful, but yet I think most of the times we pray the Our Father and we kind of have this, you know, let's sing Kumbaya, everybody, and mm-hmm. we want to have a feel-good moment.
Right.
And it's not about, you know, it's not about that.
Yes.
It's about drawing closer to the Lord.
Yes.
And abandoning whatever in your heart
mm-hmm.
that blocks that relationship, your relationship with God.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can't if you hold on to all this stuff.
Yes.
You know, I was talking to a couple of people a couple of weeks ago, and it was a conversation amongst some people that are doing some ministry, and the one person goes, "Well, I'm never wrong." and I thought, "Oh boy, well, there's a good starting point."
Yeah, let's start with that.
You know,
yeah. And that's what the Pharisees would have said.
If I take the stance that I'm never wrong, how do I go before God? And where do I begin?
Yeah.
Hey, God, I'm never wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
And then when he says, can I show you a few places where you were wrong? Let's start with that.
It'll be like in the book of Job.
Yeah, exactly.
But
good point.
It could be a very big obstacle for people.
Yes. And this was one of the things that Jesus is talking about in this passage that we started out with like 4 weeks ago or 5 weeks ago. Because what he's saying is when these people, well, men, because they were all men, of course, when these men had the fact that they did the law scrupulously, this was the measure of their righteousness. And so therefore, they stood there and said, we are doing this. Therefore, we are doing what's right. That guy over there is not doing what we're doing. He can't stand here like we can.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is trying to point out to them that the heart of the law is not about that.
Mm-hmm.
They knew the letter of the law, not the heart of the law.
Yeah.
He said, the love of God and the love of neighbor is what the law and the prophets hang on. This is what it's about. They didn't understand that because of the whole act of salvation, as I said, being love, this whole law pointed to him. And so he brings a change in our legal status, you know, which Paul talks about in Romans and Galatians, because if we're following the law and we stand before the judge and the judge says, you have violated this law, you're guilty. So your legal standing is you're guilty. You're condemned.
Right.
But now, in the covenant of grace that we live in, our legal status has changed. We have transgressed the law,
mm-hmm.
but we stand justified if we turn to him and we repent mm-hmm. and say, I'm amending my life. I'm going to follow you, and this is how I'm going to live my life. We stand justified even though we've transgressed the law.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love this song. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute, but first we got to listen to Paul Wilbur.
Israel, Adonai, blessed is the Lord. Baruch Adonai, Elohim Israel, Adonai, blessed is the Lord. Bin ha'olam, bat ha'olam, praise his name forever and again. Bin ha'olam, bat ha'olam, blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel. Blessed is the Lord. Israel will say amen, and Israel will say. When the shout of the Lord is in a camp, it's the sound of victory.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's an awesome song.
Wow, we got to catch our breath.
We just need a recording that says, that's an awesome song, so I have to say it all the time. Go to WilberMinistries.com and...
buy everything?
Buy all that stuff. Anyway, so we're talking about righteousness, talking about traditions. You know, they added so many traditions. And, you know, we don't have time to do that. That would be a whole nother show to talk about. You know, I think it's kind of a normal human thing to add traditions to things. Mm-hmm. Even if it's as simple as we do things in a certain order.
On a certain day.
On a certain day, at a certain time. Yeah. And then it gets to, because we like order, and there should mm-hmm. be order in your life. Yeah. And you can't have a worship service that's just random, everybody right. doing whatever they want.
Right.
Because Paul writes we're supposed to do things in order.
Right. Exactly.
And, you know. But they added a lot of stuff. They added a lot of things to the dietary law. They added a lot of things to the prayers. They added a lot of things to the dress. A lot of things. And if you read through the 4 out of the 5 books of Moses, from Exodus through Deuteronomy, Genesis doesn't have law in it or tradition because there wasn't a law yet, mm-hmm. which we're going to get to in a minute about.
But it is one of the it is the first Abraham. Of the 5 books of Moses.
The first of the 5 books.
So there's 5 books of Moses.
Right. And your Bible may, if you look at the first 5 books, your Bible may say the first book of Moses, also known as Genesis, which I think is kind of a cool title.
Ah.
But anyway, so they were very proud of how they were doing with all these traditions. But now there's a change in legal status where, you know, a Pharisee and we're talking about Pharisees in Jesus' time. There's still Pharisees now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's still people that say, well, you know, that guy over there, he never wears a tie to church. And that woman over there, you know, she never wears the right, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
And, I mean, there's still people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that they're doing good.
Mm-hmm.
They
right.
think that they're, you know, pleasing God and you know, some of the time that's okay, but the point is, like you were saying before, when it becomes a point of condemnation,
mm-hmm.
then that's a different story.
Right.
Well, you have pews in your church. We believe you should only have chairs. Or you have a red carpet in the lobby. We think it should be, it could only be green.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever it is.
Right.
The Pharisees were good at that.
Exactly.
And so they could easily criticize people from Galilee. I mean, let alone Gentiles. They also criticized their fellow Israelites.
Yes.
Well, those people in Galilee, look at what a mess they are.
Right.
Good thing we're not like them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this guy, Jesus, Yeshua, is walking around here with this sorry bunch of guys, and they're all a bunch of uneducated yahoos,
mm-hmm.
and they think they're going to tell us something. You know, we're right. the holy guys. They don't know anything.
Right.
They even, you know, this guy, Yeshua, healed somebody on the Sabbath. I mean, that's pretty nervy.
Yeah.
Because he had to do work. So he can't be a prophet because he violated the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
He certainly can't be Messiah because he not only violated the Sabbath, he's with guys who don't fast. He's with guys who violate the Sabbath. And they're all from Galilee. You know, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And so this is how the Pharisees looked at things. This is why the publican, whoever he was, mm-hmm. saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, and not even looking up to heaven, that's what we're supposed to be.
Right.
That's where we realize we're servants, we stand broken and condemned, and we're looking for grace and mercy. We're not looking for boastfulness. We're not looking for going to our personal judgment and saying, hey, what do you think? Mm-hmm. I did a pretty good job, don't you know? Don't you think? Look at, check my record out. I think you're going to see, well, when your record's checked out, you're going to see a lot of things. You're going to see a lot of things that, you know, aren't going to give you a state of perfection. They're not going to give you an A+. They're not going to give you a reaction from the Lord that says, this guy has done everything perfect, so he's the first one who's earned his salvation. So come on in.
Right.
And by the way, when you get into the kingdom up here, you'll be allowed to boast since you did everything perfectly. So if you want to tell all the other people here in heaven,
you will.
Yeah, you can boast. I mean, you did everything perfectly, so, you know, go ahead and boast.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is why Paul says there's no boasting.
Well, you know, as you're talking, there's a few stories that come to mind. One of them is, you know, the Good Samaritan.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you're mentioning that being clean, you know, if a priest was unclean, mm-hmm. then they couldn't offer sacrifice in the temple.
Right.
So Jesus tells the parable of the story of the Good Samaritan, you know, and so it, you know, and this is in Luke chapter 10 in verse 25, where it says, there was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus, and he asked him, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And the man said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus replied to him and said, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live well. But, but because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Well, Lord, who is my neighbor? Well,
yeah.
Well, who am I supposed to love?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we come down to the question of who am I supposed to love,
mm-hmm.
we're leaving room for, and who can I hate? Who can I love less?
Mm-hmm.
Who can I despise? So Jesus tells the story of, you know, a man fell victim of robbers. He went on, you know, went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They beat him, stripped him, and went off leaving him for dead. And then there's these two priests that pass by, but they walk to the other side of the road, you know. The Levite comes and walks on the other side of the road too, but a Samaritan traveler, and we know their relationship with the Samaritans from that woman at the well.
Did he know the woman at the well?
He knows the woman at the well. Was moved with compassion at the sight. And so he approaches the person, pours oil on him and wine over his wounds and bandages them. And then he, you know, takes him to the innkeeper and says, you know, take care of him, and
mm-hmm.
you know, on my way back, I'll pay you what I owe you.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus was always giving them parables like this, always giving them stories like this to challenge them in their way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That, yeah, you know the law, you know the law backwards and forwards, but you don't know the heart of the law.
Exactly.
You're not loving your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, when you're, I guess, brought up where, you know, if you're in a culture where that person is unclean, if you eat this, it's unclean.
Right.
How does your mind and your thinking develop to mm-hmm. the point of, well, I can't associate with him because I'll be defiled.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is coming and saying no. Because Jesus knows that it's his blood mm-hmm. that's going to wash them of their sins.
Yeah.
It's his blood that's not only going to wash the Gentile of their sins,
yeah.
but the Jew themselves.
That's right. And this is why he always uses Samaritans in these parables.
Yeah.
Because that makes a point.
A big point.
Because when they hear the word Samaritan, everybody goes, ugh.
Samaritans.
See, to us, we say, well, I don't know what that means. But,
right.
But at that point, they knew exactly
so what's the
he
deal
was making
with,
a point.
What's the big deal about the Samaritans?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that would be another show. Let's do the woman at the well again. Do we have time to do that now? Oh, no. Yeah. So that's, you know, he uses them as kind of a bullet point.
Mm-hmm.
Say, well, okay, listen here, holy guys. There was the Samaritan, yeah. and everybody goes, ugh.
A Samaritan.
A Samaritan, this unclean person out of covenant, this half-breed. Mm-hmm. He's going to do the right thing? Yeah. That's impossible.
And if you, let's look at the parable of the prodigal son. Mm-hmm. The kid's in this pen, and he wants to eat the pods that the pigs feed off of.
Yeah.
And a pig is unclean.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes back, and the father just puts the robe on him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't wash or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, to us, if we don't understand the aspects of the law and of the, you know, of the, whether it's the dietary laws or just how culture in that time was.
Yeah.
We miss the whole point of the story.
That's right. And this is why you need to study the Old Testament.
I mean, think about this. If you were a Jew and you heard that in the time of Jesus, you would be repulsed.
You would be cringing. He was working with the pigs. Ugh. But he's using that as this guy's reached such a degraded, horrible state that he's like slopping around with these unclean animals and these beautifully dressed Pharisees who have the perfectly pressed robes and the big phylactery on their head. Hear this guy talking about this kid's living with the pigs, and they're like about to throw up because they can't even stand that.
Exactly.
It's so disgusting, but he's making the point.
Mm-hmm.
And the point there is that these people aren't concerned about grace. They're concerned about law.
Mm-hmm.
This kid has done bad. Now he's associating with pigs. He needs to be punished.
Mm-hmm. And you kind of get back to the point of Jonah in Nineveh.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
You know, well, okay, Lord, I preached your word to them.
Let it rip.
don't hold back. Let them have it.
I'm going to sit up here and watch.
Let them have it. All right.
Yeah.
I'm waiting.
He thought there was going to be like a hydrogen bomb blow up over the place.
Okay, Lord. Let them have it. And God relents his punishment because they repented.
Yes.
Yeah. And Jonah's like bummed out.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you mean you're not going to destroy them? What do you mean you're not going to give them punishment?
Yeah.
And when you know, as you were saying, when you're steeped in the law, you get steeped in what's the punishment?
Mm-hmm.
What is the just punishment?
Mm-hmm.
And certainly there is, you know, in our legal system, there is justification for punishment of a crime committed, stuff like that.
Sure.
But in the context of what we're talking about here with God's laws and decrees, we're still to obey God. We're still to, you know, follow his command.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not just do whatever we please and whatever comes to mind.
Yes.
Because we ourselves can be led astray very easily.
That's right.
But when we expect to see punishment on somebody and we root for it, come on, this is what they deserve.
Yeah.
Well,
especially in Nineveh, which was a city of Gentiles.
you know, I could easily stand in the mirror and say, Lord, I've sinned just as much as that person.
Mm-hmm.
Let me have it.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly right. And that's the point.
Give me the punishment.
That's the good point because, you know, in the book of Hebrews, it says if the first covenant was perfect, we wouldn't need a second one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean that God said, you know, I gave the people the law and I did wrong. I shouldn't have given them these laws. These laws are obviously bad.
Right.
So let's have the Messiah go and be sacrificed and we'll start the grace up now. Because I made a big mistake with the law. No, the law was holy. The law was from God. Mm-hmm. The law was revealed by God. It was given to the people by God. There wasn't anything wrong with the law. The law was not imperfect. The problem was that the people couldn't keep the law.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole point of it was to bring about salvation was going to be done through him, through grace, and not by the law. Because, like you're talking about, and we're talking about the Pharisees, and we're talking about the publicans and these, you know, common people that the Pharisees looked down on, you know, Paul, who was one of these guys who would have looked down on all these common people, mm-hmm. he would have had absolutely zero use for some peasant from Galilee mm-hmm. because he was the one of the head guys.
Right.
And he was one of the head holy guys. And he writes in Romans 3 that everyone is condemned by the law. Everyone is condemned. We know what the law says. And when you're under the law, he says every mouth is stopped because everybody knows that they're guilty. Mm-hmm. Everyone is guilty under the law. Therefore, no one has an argument. Everyone is guilty. And he says in verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. Because no one can be justified by the law. Not that the law is bad. It's that we can't keep the law. So if your righteousness is based on the law, if your salvation is based on your law and your works solely, then no one is going to be saved. He says, everyone stands guilty. No one, and he says, no one, no flesh, not, well, some flesh will be justified, some won't. No flesh will be justified in his sight. Then he adds this really important little phrase, for by the law is the knowledge of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Now we say, wow, I thought I was good, but I'm not really good. And I've failed a lot more than I thought I failed. What am I going to do? Just like, you know, later in, I can't remember now offhand, it might be chapter 5, where he says, you know, of all the sinners, I'm the worst one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why do I do these things?
Right.
Why do the things I want to do, I don't do? The things I don't want to do, I keep on doing. He says, wretched man that I am. Yeah. Who's going to deliver me from this? Because you realize you're breaking the law, and at the same time, the Pharisee is condemning somebody else who's also violating the law. So he says, you know, I'm wretched. Who's going to deliver me from this? And then he says, ah, but Jesus is going to deliver me from this. The Messiah is going to deliver me from this. Mm-hmm. Grace is going to deliver me from this, even though I'm guilty. You know, in Philippians 3, one of my favorite verses, Philippians is one of my favorite books, actually. I don't know if I mentioned that.
I don't think you've ever mentioned that before on the show.
Yeah. I like Romans, too. I think Romans might be.
I have heard you mention that.
Yeah. I think Hebrews, though, might be my favorite book. But anyway, in Philippians 3, 9... You know, he says, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Okay? The righteousness is from God by faith. He says, the righteousness is not my own righteousness. Paul the Pharisee doesn't come and say, hey, I'm Saul of Tarsus. I'm Saul the Pharisee. I have been so zealous for this law. Look how righteous I am. He used to say that a few years ago, but now he says, I have no righteousness of my own. The righteousness comes from Christ. So it's a total transition from one covenant into the new covenant. And this is what Jesus is trying to get across by saying, I've not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, because you're all condemned. The law shows you what you are. This is the plan of salvation. I'm the plan. I'm the sacrifice. I'm the love. This is what I came to do.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul finally says, wow, all those times I was walking around saying, kill those people, condemn those people. I'm Saul the Pharisee. I was doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And, ooh, this is a good song, too. Anyway, we have to listen to another Paul Wilbur song now, right when I got rolling. Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Who is like you, O Lord?
know just a single gaze. All the glory of your face. All the glory of your face. The diamond turns, the angels bow. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The glory burns, the saints cry out. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Who is like you, O radiant one, ever exceeding all we know, merciful and just, full of grace and love, ever shining from your throne, ever shining from your throne, the diamond turns, the angels bow. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The glory burns, the saints cry.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
Oof. That's an awesome song.
Oh, you got to play that the next home group.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not all invited to the home group.
Why not? There's not enough room.
Both of you that are listening. Anyway, that we could do like a whole nother show just on that song.
Yeah.
But, you know, we... I have to correct that thing I referenced earlier about Paul saying how wretched he was actually in Romans chapter 7, not 5. I had a chance to look it up during the break, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But, you know, because the law, you know, as we just said before the close, for by the law is the knowledge of sin, And so we see that we don't have our own righteousness because we're not doing the law right. Mm-hmm. So we don't have our righteousness. We see the knowledge of sin. Paul's going to write in Galatians. We're going to talk about that in a minute. He says the law is the schoolmaster that drives us to the cross. Some translations say tutor, some translations say taskmaster, but the law is the schoolmaster that drives you to the cross. Because once you see yourself in the law, you realize you can't do the law. So you go to the cross and you say, I'm broken. I can't do this anymore. I'm going to trust in you to be saved. And that's where your salvation comes from.
Mm-hmm.
The law shows you what you are. But the important point here is the law, if we don't know the law, we don't appreciate grace.
Right.
If you study the Torah, the five books of Moses, the Pentateuch, and you see God's law, you say, I can't do all that stuff. And he says, you're right. You can't do all that stuff because you have a fallen nature. But because I'm not doing the stuff, I see that I have fallen short. So when I see what Jesus, the Messiah, does for me on the cross, now I say, oh, now I get mm-hmm. why this is so awesome.
Yeah. I think maybe a good point to bring up is that, you know, if we look at our civil laws that we have, you know, and I think I've shared this before on the show one time where many years ago when I was driving home from work one night when I used to work at a bowling alley, there was a stop sign. There was this place where you can just make the right and keep on going,
mm-hmm.
but the city changed the ordinance. I was unaware of it. And there was no stop sign up there, but I got pulled over anyway. And I went to court and I said, well, I didn't see the stop sign. It was civic day. So all these kids were in the courtroom.
And
the judge goes, well, son, ignorance is no excuse for the law. So I got a fine.
Mm.
And, you know, I think that I'm thinking of that because it's a good example that you can say, or I can say, you know, I didn't know that it was illegal for me to take that off the shelf and not pay for it. I thought it was there for me to take. I mean, you could use that as a defense, but it's not going to get you very far because that's the law. And in our society, if we break a law, there's consequences to it.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, our culture seems to want to turn away from the wisdom of God because they want to create their own wisdom.
Mm.
And God's wisdom is eternal anyway. Mm. It's been around for, you know, it's been around forever. And people tend to think, oh, you know, it's kind of out of date.
Yeah.
You know? But God is eternal and God's wisdom is eternal. Mm-hmm. So it's never out of date.
Mm-hmm.
And so by not knowing the law, you can easily transgress the law and be held accountable for it.
Mm-hmm.
And as this passage says, since no human being will be justified in his sight by observing the law, for through the law comes consciousness of sin.
Mm-hmm.
When we know the laws, we know what we have to refrain from.
Yep.
Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to refrain from everything from time to time, but that's where God's grace comes in. And
exactly.
That's where the cross comes in.
Exactly.
You know, and if the law gives us consciousness of sin, consciousness of transgressing against God,
mm-hmm.
then if we are walking with God and we're in a relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
we should try to avoid those things
exactly.
that cause our relationship to suffer
sure.
with Him.
Yes.
You know, it's the same thing as you know, our relationship here. A relationship with your spouse or mm-hmm. friend or family member, or anything. If there is obstacles in the relationship suffers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as, you know, it's not as free as it can be. And it's not as loving as it can be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not as fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
So through knowing the law and knowing what God established, that gives us, you know, the right mind frame of
mm-hmm.
what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
Am I transgressing against God? But it doesn't give us the it doesn't give us the license to boastfully point out that I'm doing this better than everybody else, stuff like that.
We should be overwhelmed by this all.
Yeah.
And instead of worrying, you know, Paul calls it bondage to the law.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, well, I have to do this,
mm-hmm.
it goes to, hey, I want to do this.
Yeah.
Because I'm being saved by grace.
Yeah.
So I want to do what he wants me to do.
And, you know, when you're in that type of relationship where it feels like bondage, I was listening to a gentleman speak a couple months ago, and he quoted your friend Peter Herbeck as saying, because, you know, I think there's a lot of people that are in a loveless relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And they're just going through the motions of everyday life And because if that element of love, excuse me, is not there, then it is a taskmaster.
Exactly.
It is a slave. It's not a son and a father.
Yeah. Wow. That's a good point. Wow, I can't believe it's the end of the show.
I know.
We're going to have to do another show on this.
Yes.
Maybe. Or more. Anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that the love of God is poured into your heart and that you have that relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God bless everyone. Have an awesome week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.